Welcome to the Rent to Rent Success Podcast, the only podcast entirely dedicated to helping you achieve rent to rent success. We talk about the ethical way to get you started in property without buying it. This is our place to inspire each other to believe bigger, to be bolder, and to be game changers for good. Property investors and sisters Stephanie and Nikki Taylor are your guides on this exciting ride. Let's start up the engines and get ready to fly. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Rent to Rent Success Podcast. It's Stephanie here, and I'm so excited today to have with me Peter Komolafi. Now, you may remember Peter way back from episode 81, back in June 2021, and Peter is host of the hugely engaging Conversation of Money podcast and YouTube channel. Both the podcast and the YouTube channels have really blown up, so do check them out. But in March, next month, Peter will be publishing his book through HarperCollins. And I love the concept of this. It's the money basics, become your own financial hero. And I so enjoy the idea that we're all becoming our financial heroes, whether we go forward in property, in rent to rent, in business, investing. But for every single one of us, there is a simple way to build wealth. And Peter really breaks that down with his basic formula in the book. So welcome back to the show, Peter Komolafi.
Oh, look, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's really nice to be back.
Yes, well, I was so excited because I've also been on your show a couple of times and I was so excited to receive an email from you about the book. Now, guys, if you're watching this, you must check out Peter's book. It is so cool. The cover is so cool. There's a pig wearing sunglasses on it. That's all I'm saying. Yep. So you must go, and I'm sure you will want to. I'm going to pre-order the book, and that's really helpful to Peter as well. But this book, absolutely, I know that there will be nuggets in there for you and for me. But do check that out, and we'll put a divert up from renttorentsuccess.com/Peter, and that will take you direct to Peter's book on Amazon, and I will put that up on the video screen for any of you watching on the website or on YouTube. So Peter, tell us why you are so motivated to talk to people and to have that conversation of money.
Well, I think most of us adults never really got taught about money. I think the majority of us went through life kind of trying and error with money and then learning as we go along. This isn't something that, you know, is taught in schools, then you're pre-prepared for what a credit card is or what interest rates are or what how APRs work or debt as a concept, budgeting as a concept. We arrive at adulthood, we realize, oh, we've got to get on with it, and then we just fumble around and figure it out, and hopefully we don't mess anything or do anything that's too damaging. In my instance, I did a lot of stuff that was very, very damaging, that took me years and years and years to get out of. And through my career, being 15 years in financial services across retail banking, corporate banking, then wealth management, where I qualified as a financial advisor and a mortgage advisor, you know, you get to a point in your career and you're like, there's a lot of stuff that I learned, but actually, if I didn't work in this industry, I wouldn't know any of it. And indeed, a lot of people don't know any of it. And so after picking up so much knowledge and finally applying that knowledge to my own personal finances and seeing the difference that it made, I'm like, well, this needs to be stuff that, number one, is spoken about very, very easily and openly. But more importantly, something that we actually get into schools and into the hands of kids, really, whilst they're in school. And certainly, you know, teenagers, 18, 19 years old, going out getting their first job.
Yes, totally. And I think even if you don't mess things up, unless you get this specific education about investing and about the things that you talk about in the book, then you won't be able to build wealth. Because most people vast majority do not save. They earn money every month, sometimes a lot of money every month, and they spend it. Mm-hmm. That is most people. The majority of people are not saving. But even on a very modest income, you can save, you can invest, and you can become wealthy. Mm-hmm. And it's not just for the young people, like we were talking about my son earlier, but even Nikki and I in the last 6 years, also using the leverage of property finance, but also the leverage of investing, have managed to build wealth in a short period of time.
Yeah. I mean, I think, look, the reason why I wrote the book is I wanted to be able to put everything that I've learned into a very simple approach. And that's why I called it the basic formula. And that was very intentional, because you want to break things down to the basics. So putting it into a basic formula, where the basic formula comprises of five financial principles. Mm-hmm. If you get these five financial principles in place, you will be successful from a financial point of view. You will become your own financial hero. So the idea of being your own financial hero is having that financial security, that financial freedom. It's not about being a multi-millionaire. If you want to be a multi-millionaire, that's fine. But it's about knowing that even in a cost of living crisis, for example, you have enough financial resources to shift, move, and not be under financial pressure. That's what it's all about. And I think fundamentally, if you speak to 99.9% of the people on the street, that is what we all want. We want financial security in some way, shape, or form, where we can live on our own terms without financial pressure. That's what the book is about. And so the formula, the basic formula, is all about the five principles to get you there. And it is sequential. You can't jump from B to C. You should follow it all the way through, because like you say, a lot of people will earn a lot of money. They won't save. They'll invest, but they're missing a really important step for security and foundation. So it's very, very intentional with the basic formula.
Yes. I think the people who are investing are doing better than the people who are only saving.
Yeah. But,
because the investing gives you the leverage, the saving just diminishes your money over time. But let's hear, because I'm sure people are saying, well, what is the basic formula? Yeah. So kick us off with the B.
Okay, so the B is all about budgeting. So that's your fundamental block, okay? There is the old adage that, you know, if you can't budget £10, you're not going to be able to budget 100 or 1,000 or 10,000. That's fundamentally true. Budgeting is seen to be this really complex, boring kind of idea, but actually it's very, very simple. And through the book, what I try to instill in people is to look at budgeting in three distinct silos. And that's all about your essentials, your non-essentials, then your other. And we focus on the other because when we go through the formula, that pot really comes into play. But this is all about discipline. It's all about understanding, number one, this is how much money I've got coming in. This is how much money I've got going out. But crucially, having controls on the expenditure side so that you can retain as much of that money as you can and allocate it into other things that you actually want to do, which is why we've got the other pot there. So that's B. The second one, which is A, is basically about avoiding debt. Now, this is something that I learned the hard way. I struggled with debt for 15 years. And I tell my story in this book about how when I came back over from Nigeria with £50 in my pocket, was told to go back to my foster parents' house, I didn't know how to budget. And because I didn't know how to budget and I was interfacing with the banks for the very first time in my life, I was offered, you know, an overdraft and a credit card. And I thought, oh, this is you know, a facility that can be my fallback. And because I didn't know how to budget, indeed, it was my fallback because, oh, I've got this cash. I don't have money for this bill. I'm going to use this instead. But what I didn't understand, and I wish that I understood, was how interest and APRs and all of that works, and how with a credit card, well, you've got to pay it back and you're going to be paying it back with interest. So I talk about avoiding debt, and that's a key catalyst. And it's a pretty big element in the formula, because the reality is that debt, bad debt specifically, is a drain on your resources, and it will rob you of any future prospects that you essentially have. And I tell my story about how I struggled with anxiety and depression, and how I ended up getting around to the point where I was able to face it head on. The S is all about saving early. Now, saving early isn't about stacking cash in an account just for no reason at all. It's actually being intentional with forming the habit of saving. And in the book, I talk about the fact that it's not about the number per se, it's about the habit. And I encourage people to say, look, even if it's 10%, 5% of what you earn, pay attention to that habit of saving 5% of what you earn, or that 10% of what you earn. Because if you start out in when you're 18, 19 years old with £1,000 and you save 10%, that's £100. But guess what? If you can sustain and grow that habit, when you get to the point where you're earning £5,000 a month, that £100 is now £500. And that's where you're going to start to see that compounding effect. And that brings us very, very nicely into the core of the book, which is all about investing. So once you've started to save early and you've got that habit locked in, you've built yourself an emergency fund to make sure that you're not going to be desolate if anything untoward or anything out of the blue were to happen to you, now you can then take that habit of that 10% per month and actually put it into things like the stock market, where that's where you're really going to be able to create wealth. And I talk quite extensively about investing in the book. And the last bit is all about credit score, because the reality is, if you want to buy a property, you want to get on the property ladder, you want to start a business, your credit score is extremely important to that. So it talks about what a credit score is, what information goes into it, how to improve it, how to make sure that you're not making any faux pas. And that right there is the basic formula, the foundation to becoming your own financial hero. It's stuff that has worked for me through my career and has got me to the point where I'm financially secure. And I think that it's repeatable. It's something that anyone can just pick up and implement. Yes, it will take time. But again, it's the habit that you need to cultivate.
Yes, I love it because of the simplicity and the doability. And it really is life-changing information. Now, I know that many of you listening already maybe have invested in property, or you're running a rent-to-rent business, or you would like to have a business. And what Peter's talking about here really will help all of us to grow. So, for example, we obviously have our property investment side where we buy and develop properties, and we've got our property business as well, our rent-to-rent business. But Peter actually helped me get set up in stocks and shares a few years ago. And that has been life-changing because I've been able to, my adult son, Alex, he's also investing in stocks and shares. He saved up on a modest salary, or an average UK salary, I would say, and bought his own home. So, at a youngish age, without financial assistance from Nikki and I. And so these things that Peter's saying are so important. But the final thing I want to say is, don't be put off if you're maybe in your 40s, 50s, 60s or beyond, because you can do a lot in a smaller amount of time with intentionality. And so this book will still serve you. So we will put the link to pre-order the book, which I highly encourage you to do, the Amazon link, but also you can go to Amazon and search for The Money Basics, Peter Kamalafi, and it'll come up. But I've created a short link here, which I'm putting on screen now, which will take you to the Amazon link to pick up Peter's book, renttorentsuccess.com/Peter, and that will go and take you straight to Peter's book. I want to make sure that you've got every direction to be able to get this book, because really it is gold dust, I promise you. So, Peter, go on.
I was just going to say, within the book as well, one thing I wanted to do is make sure that it's very, very practical. So at the very top end of the book, there is actually a task in there. And I would encourage everyone to do it, because it really gives you that zoomed out look at your life and the areas of your life that are important to you. And I think this is very, very important, because my slogan is, money is a tool, life is for living. Your money is there as a tool to help you create the life that you want. So in the book, I wanted it to be as practical as possible. So the exercise task one is really, really important to complete. And I would encourage you, even if you don't do anything else in the book, look at task one. Specifically, exercise one in task one. It gives you a really, really nice retrospective. Like, sit back and really think about the areas of your life, and you'll come up with maybe some surprising things. I actually share my scores as well through the exercises with the readers as well, so they can see how that translates to me, the author, actually writing and taking that exercise as well through the book.
Oh, I love that. I'm so curious now. I was getting it anyway, but I must get this now and see what this task is that you're having us all do. So, Peter, you've talked about some of the mistakes that people make, and you've talked to so many people now about their money and helped so many people. What are the biggest mistakes that you see people making?
The biggest mistake that I see often is people feeling as though they don't have enough. I don't want to say courage, because courage will be the wrong word. They're fearful, or they're at least anxious, and they have trepidation about talking about a financial matter. And that is a mistake, because it's not that hard when you finally get over that little hump. And actually, it's quite liberating. It really, really is. And that's what I often find. And yes, there are mistakes in each of the principles that run through the book in the basic formula. But that's the biggest one that I see. And oftentimes, when I do have conversations with people, they're like, oh, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I actually feel quite good about actually having this conversation. Yeah. And thank you. And I think we really do need to have more of these conversations and approach it more with an open heart.
Yeah, totally. And even something as simple as, I'm going back to it again, the stocks and shares investing. Before I started doing it, it just seemed such a mystery. And now I am doing it, I just feel, oh, it's so simple. But you do need somebody sometimes to guide you and show you the way. So I know this book will be fabulous, but you also offer a limited number of one-to-one consultations as well, don't you, Peter?
Yeah, that's right. So I often get people who email me and say, look, because I'm a qualified financial advisor, do you give any advice? And I stepped away from financial advice, but what I do is I do coaching or mentoring. So on occasion, 2-3 times a month, I will actually do a coaching session with people or do some mentoring. The mentoring is slightly different to the coaching because it's more ongoing. So a 3-6 month program. I had someone recently last year who was really struggling with, I want to buy a property. I'm kind of halfway there with the deposit, but the remaining half is I don't know where to begin. And when we started to have a look at it, it's like, okay, let's structure everything from the get-go. So let's really look at where you are right now, the timeline that we're working with, what money you got coming in right now, how we're going to structure that. If we need to make any cuts or sacrifice any things, what might they be? How do you feel about them? Talk to me about it. Because saying that you need to do this is it's very simple. But it needs to be sustainable. So having those conversations in the mentoring sense is very, very important. And then what we do is we set it up and then we monitor every month, and we just tweak to the point where actually probably around about month 3, month 4, the practices are in place, and it almost becomes, you start to form the habit at that point because you've got all of the automations in place to make it sustainable moving forward. And then we will often catch up, you know, once a year or something like that, just to see where they are.
Yeah, and it is so easy. And for many years, I did not save substantially or consistently or invest. And when I started doing it, I quickly moved to saving and investing quite a chunk. In fact, you know, now it's investing into the stocks and shares that I do, because we invest a lot of our profits from our business into property and through our SAS pension. But the money personally that we, you know, pay ourselves, we put a big chunk of that, and we don't even miss it. That's the thing.
Well, that's exactly it. And this is one of the things that I've seen this all the time. And actually, one of my neighbors, I was at a wedding 3 weeks ago or so, and one of my neighbors was like, listen, I'm earning really good money. I'm doing like 5-6K a month, and I don't know where the money is going. I'm like, okay, but I've just heard you two speaking. And I know that you just said that you're doing like $1,000 a month on takeaways. It's like, cost of living crisis or not. I'm like, seriously. So it is like, it's mad, because the money's disappearing. And the thing is, you have to pay attention to it. Like on autopilot, it's very, very, very easy for these habits to creep in. They're not necessarily productive. And you think about it, it's like, it's £1,000 a month that you're doing on that. It's like you allocate that money to something else and think about the compounding effect and the benefit that it's going to give you into the future. It's absolutely huge. I say in the book, how many millionaires are you wearing? Because that's something that someone said to me when I was in Canary Wharf. And it's very, very true. Oftentimes it's a mindset thing, right? How many millionaires are you wearing? It's like, what do you mean? Well, look, the clothes that you're wearing is probably from a company owned by a millionaire or a billionaire. And what you're doing is you're going to work, earning all this cash, and yeah, you're exchanging your money for their goods at what expense? Goods that you don't really need. You want them. So you're exchanging those goods for your hard-earned cash. For what reason? Lying in the pocket of a millionaire and probably robbing yourself of the things that you actually want to do and the security that you need to build around you and your universe, your family, and so on and so forth. And it's a lot of it is very much mindset.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you've just sparked me. I'm now on the compound interest to calculate the side. So what's the average on the stock market been over the last 5 or 10 years?
Well, the S&P 500 over the last, decade has done 10% a year return. So if you were to, again, going back to this simple idea, the habit, if it's 10% of what you earn every single month that you're able to put into the market, S&P 500, for example, right? And obviously past performance is no indication of future performance. But let's just say it did replicate that performance and it's not going to take into account any charges. It could be quite impactful over the course of a 10 to 15 year period. And particularly if, and I talk about this in the book, in one of the case studies that I put in the book around investing. What is your goal? If you've got a kid that you're looking to pay, save university fees for example, you might be looking at a 15 year period. Small amounts of money into the market over that period of time can be huge, and it makes a huge difference. It takes off the pressure because you're using instruments in the world that have always worked and have always traditionally worked. And you need to understand what investing is. It's you're buying into the biggest companies that run the world, that run the services and the products that we all need. So it's very much a mindset shift more than anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you're saying, it's all about intentionality. If you're investing, you're totally satisfied with your money situation, and you also want to wear designer clothes, more power to you. But if you're without intention buying designer clothes and you're worried about your finances and you're in debt, then maybe that's not something you're choosing. But Peter, I've just gone onto the compound interest calculator to see your friend there with £1,000 a month going on takeaway. If he was putting that into the stock market at 10% a year in 10 years, do you know what he would make?
I haven't done his compound interest calculator, no, but I know it's going to be very, very, very handsome indeed.
It will be very handsome, yeah. At the end of the 10-year period, and 10 years, it's not a long time, £209,000 he would have. And do you know something? The interest earned is almost more than the amount he put in, yep. Or she, I think you said he. The interest earned is $88,259. And it becomes even crazier if we take it up to 20 years, just making sure I'm doing the right calculation.
It won't just be a double of $209,000. It'll be significantly more because of the power of compound interest.
Exactly. So after 20 years, putting in $1,000 a month, it's £773,024. And the interest earned, he's put in £240,000 and he's earned over £532,000 of interest. Yeah. That's the power of, investing.
Yeah. And I think it is important. Obviously, this podcast is, you focus a lot on property, and property is great because you can touch it and you can feel it. But when you think about investments and how you structure, your investments, it is about having different asset classes, and property is one asset class. Investments in the stock market is a separate asset class, which means that things like tax advantages, tax wrappers are very, very different to those of property. So it's all about the harmonious existence of the two to give you the best outcome with that being the tool that helps you create the life that you live.
Exactly. And it's all down to individual preference, because property tends to be more to do, and in stocks and shares tends to be more passive. mm-hmm. of the two. And I have people who say, I listen to your show and I get lots of tidbits, even though I'm not doing rent to rent and I'm not thinking of starting in property. So for those people who think, you know what, property I don't think is for me, here's another method for you to be using your money. And as you would say, you know, have your money work hard for you rather than you always working hard for your money.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I would just like to end on, you know, secrets to success, Peter. And I know that in your book, really, that is the secret to success, the basic formula for wealth building. But if there was one thing that you could pick out as our parting note today, what would you say to people?
A lot of the stuff that I talk about is down to my own experiences. And I think there is one thing that has definitely been a standout theme for me over the past 2 years, 3 years since I've been doing this and stepped out on my own. And that is to be as purpose-driven as possible. And I stand by that 100%. Money is a big factor in all of our lives. That's unquestionable. We need it to be able to live the lives that we want. But I think that there is something much, much bigger and much more valuable than money in being purpose driven, whether that be in your personal life, whether that be in your business life. And for many people, it takes a journey to get to that. It's taken me a journey to understand that my purpose driven outlet is through what I do now. It's through the podcast, it's through the YouTube channel, it's through doing more TV, it's through writing this book, it's by through doing all the other things that I'm engaged with now, trying to, you know, improve financial education in schools. I want to leave a mark, a legacy in some way, shape or form to make the journey that I've been through an example and catalyst for people to do something different. And if you don't have to go through the pain or the 15 years in debt and the anxiety and the depression that I did through me sharing or writing about it, then that right there is the fulfillment of my purpose. And I would just encourage everyone to think about what your purpose is and lead with that. For me, money is always a byproduct of good work. And if your work is purpose driven, the money will take care of itself. And then it's all about the smart things that you do with money alongside it. And I think just by being purpose driven, you feel a lot more fulfilled as a human being as well.
Yeah, such great advice. And I would just add to that, if you're thinking, but oh, I don't know if I've got a purpose, I don't really like my job, it's not what I would choose for myself. Your purpose might be in caring for your family. Your purpose might be in doing the best you can with what you've got right now. And eventually, a bigger purpose may or may not come to you. Not all of us are here to change the world. We might be here just to change our family or our community in a way that's equally as important, as long as it's fulfilling to you.
Sustaining your family and leading your family is a big thing. Raising a family is a huge thing. It's probably one of the biggest services you could ever provide. And I think social media these days is great, right? But social media does focus on the big things where the small things that really, really matter go amiss. And if it is a case of, you know, you just want to have a family and spend time with family and have a healthy family life, that right there is a great purpose. And it should not be looked down upon or overshadowed in any way, shape or form.
Yeah. Yeah. So, as I say, do go and pick up the advanced copy of the book. Peter, you know, might be on the bestseller list if enough of us buy it. And I would love to get him there. And you'll get so much value in this book. We'll put the link to the Amazon book, The Basics of Money. Become your own hero.
How to become your own financial hero.
How to become your own financial hero. Who doesn't want that? And then we've also put a quick link here, renttorentsuccess.com/Peter, which takes you straight to that Amazon page. And I think a note to end on, many of our listeners, you yourself, Peter, are Nigerian. I think that's right. My family is from Jamaica. So as Black people as well, I know that in terms of property, only 32% of Black people own their own properties, and we know that there is a big financial gap there. So for us particularly, I think it is incumbent upon us to educate ourselves, and that's part of the reason I do this podcast, and I know it's part of the reason, Peter, you do what you do.
Yeah, I think that, you know, for us, there is a lot of cultural influences in some of those numbers. You know, for example, you know, being in from a Nigerian background, you know, wealth doesn't necessarily flow down to the kids. It goes the opposite way. And sometimes it's that conversation of how you actually shift that paradigm slightly and the mindset slightly. So there are cultural influences. And I would just encourage people, you know, have those conversations. Have those conversations and, you know, lay out the vision for the future and lay out what it is that you actually want to do and start to, you know, unpick that a little bit. Because if you don't, it becomes really, really difficult.
Yeah. Well, Peter, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for creating this book and helping us all to become our own financial heroes. I'm so excited for the Money Basics to come out. I'm off to pre-order after this, and I hope that you watching and listening are all as well off to order your copy. Link in the show notes, of course. And thank you, Peter, for being here today and for being such an inspiration.
Thank you. No, thanks for having me. And thank you to everyone who's watched and listened as well.
And thank you. And as always, until next week, believe bigger, be bolder, be a game changer. See you soon. Bye for now. Thank you so much for being with me here today. If you would like more, we've written the number one best-selling book on rent to rent. You can find it at renttorentsuccess.com/book. Reviewers on Amazon have described it as the best rent to rent HMO book and also as a definitive reference guide and inspirational. Take your next step today and buy the book. You can find it at renttorentsuccess.com/book. And I'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, believe bigger, be bolder, be a game changer.